You know, it may be the dog days of August, but it is anything but quiet in the world of politics. A Republican and a Democrat in Congress made a secret trip to Afghanistan overnight, and they concluded the U.S. will not be able to get all of its Afghan helpers evacuated by the time troops pull out next week. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has negotiated a way to keep her party unified on infrastructure spending for now. Our political strategists join us. Bill Press is a Democrat. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Celeste. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. Matt Makowiak is a Republican. Hi, Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's start with Moulton and Meyer. Massachusetts Democrat Seth Moulton and Michigan Republican Peter Meyer. They're both veterans. They both served. They have been criticized for distracting from the evacuation efforts by making this secret trip to Kabul's airport. They say, though, that they went because the American public is not getting the full truth from the Biden administration. And I wonder, Bill, was this trip, do you think, worth it?
Well, let me say this. I think it's remarkable that we finally found something that Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy can agree on, which is that this was totally stupid and totally selfish on the part of one Democrat or one Republican to do this. They accomplished nothing. They didn't contribute anything to our relief efforts. All they did was get in the way. They said, we learned that we may not get everybody out by August 31. Duh. I mean, I know that. You know that. Everybody listening knows that. You don't have to go to Kabul to find it out. And worst of all, I think, the member of Congress travels. They require security. They require handling. They require VIP treatment. And they require two seats. And there are two seats coming out of Kabul that were occupied by two members of Congress who could have been occupied by two Afghan refugees. Shame on them.
In a statement, though, Moulton and Meyer criticized the U.S. as what they called, quote, current bizarre relationship with the Taliban. Here's President Biden from last night.
The sooner we can finish, the better. Each day of operations brings added risk to our troops. But the completion by August 31st depends upon the Taliban continuing to cooperate and allow access to the airport for those who were transporting out, and no disruptions to our operations.
Bill, I wonder, Matt, what you make of this criticism of the Biden administration's relationship and discussions with the Taliban. Is Biden administration, are they responsible for the chaos right now?
Well, there's no question that there was a right way to withdraw from the country, first by getting Americans out, second by taking care of these SIV folks who've helped us in country. And then third, by protecting our military assets in country, which have now fallen in the hands of the Taliban and made them among the better weaponized and supported terrorist groups, or certainly opponents of America. So they should have gone about this obviously much better. It is a little bit strange that the Taliban can now say, if we have to leave by the 31st or there will be consequences. And that, you know, we basically have to sort of do whatever they want. That's kind of the position it appears that we're in. We shouldn't be letting the Taliban dictate to us when we can remove Americans from an unsafe situation. We should be making absolutely clear that we will get every American out we possibly can. The Brits and the French are already doing that. They're going well beyond the perimeter at the airport. And it seems to me, with the strongest and most fearsome military in the world, if we had the willpower at the top levels of our government, we could do that ourselves.
How fair is it, though, for people to be criticizing the Biden administration for having discussions with the Taliban, Bill, when the treaty with the withdrawal was negotiated by the Trump administration? And let's not forget the Bush administration and the Obama administration.
I think it's just honestly, and I agree with a lot of what Matt said in terms of, I just want to make that point of, we shouldn't be listening to the Taliban. I mean, whatever they say, look, we are the far superior military force, the largest and most powerful on the planet. So I take everything I think we all should. The Taliban is saying about, you know, we got to be out by August 31 or whatever. I think we ought to take that all with a grain of salt. But of course we have to talk to the Taliban. They did take over the country after 20 years. They're in charge right now. We have to talk to them, if nothing else, than to make sure that we can accomplish our mission of getting all the people out. And Celeste, you rightfully point out, the deal to get out of their country was not made by Joe Biden. It was made by Donald Trump in February 2020, who wanted to invite the Taliban to Camp David to sign an agreement. And he made a deal with them that we would pull out our troops with no conditions, no preconditions, no nothing. We'd be out by May 2020. And that's what started this whole collapse.
Still, though, although most Americans say they approve of the idea of getting out of Afghanistan, a USA Today Suffolk poll that came out yesterday shows the president's approval rating has dropped to 41%, and a majority disapprove of the way the Biden administration has handled it. Matt, do you think this is a lasting drop in support for President Biden's administration, or is this maybe going to be temporary?
I think there's two ways to answer that. First, I think, look, part of why his approval rating has dropped so fast is that this has been dominating the news, and it's a very difficult story, has a lot of bad images. And honestly, I don't think the White House has been totally upfront and honest with the public. And I don't think the president's messaging, his inability to answer questions or unwillingness to answer questions has cost him somewhat as well. But if they're able to ultimately get the vast majority of Americans out by August 31st, I do think some of that controversy may die down. The longer term risk is what kind of government does the Taliban build? Does Al Qaeda or ISIS-K come back into the country? Do they start launching attacks? Do terrorists are they able to enter through the United States to the southern border at the moment, which Homeland Security officials are concerned about? There are some longer term risks here for Biden. I don't think Afghanistan is going to dominate the way it has for the last 10 days, for the next, you know, 2 or 3 months. But I do think it's put the administration on defense. It's made congressional Democrats start to question the administration's approach here. And it has, I think, moved independents away from Biden and willing to consider, you know, other options done in the future. So they're on defense right now. The question is how long this will last and whether they can get to a satisfactory conclusion.
Well, let's move back. So go ahead, Bill.
Just a quick point. I just wanted to point out, as we all know, there's no such thing as a lasting poll, right? I saw this morning that President Obama's poll numbers dived in the middle of Somalia, when it turned out to be not the crisis we thought it was, his numbers went back up. We're now in the middle of probably the most successful and the greatest airlift in history. Almost 100,000 people now brought out of Afghanistan. If that continues at that pace, Joe Biden will get credit for it and his numbers will come back up.
Well, let's bring the discussion back to Washington, D.C. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, celebrated an agreement she reached last night with moderates in her party to vote on a bipartisan infrastructure deal next month in exchange for their yes votes on a much larger $3.5 trillion budget resolution that paves the way for a host of the president's priorities. This morning, she downplayed the divides within the party.
The steam that was in our caucus was to get this done for the president, for the American people, for America's working families. And our unity, as I always say, our diversity is our strength. Our unity is our power.
Matt, how big a victory is this for her?
Yeah, I mean, it's significant because it opens the door to the spending bill that Biden and many of the progressive Democrats want to get done. They had to get this piece done. Now they have to pass the infrastructure bill, I think, by the 27th. September's going to be a very busy month. You've got the debt ceiling. You've got all kinds of things. All these things are combining. The infrastructure bill, the budget resolution, the budget reconciliation bill, all these things are combining. So it's either going to all come together beautifully and they're going to take a victory lap, or it's all going to fall apart in a, you know, chaotic way. And I don't think we know right now. It was a win for Pelosi. Yesterday was pretty chaotic, the day before was pretty chaotic, where they had to pull the rule down from the House floor. But they ultimately got there. She got the deal she needed with the moderates. And give her credit, she doesn't lose votes on the floor. It rarely happens in the House, but it has happened in the past. She does not lose votes on the floor, and you have to give her credit for that.
So, Bill, what do you think here? Has a very short window here of success before we start heading into the midterms?
Let me just say, kind of building on what Matt said, Democrats, Republicans, and the media always have made the mistake of underestimating Nancy Pelosi. Big mistake. Boy, she knows how to deliver. She is a master at legislation. And she engineered this, bringing the progressives and the moderates both behind both measures, the $1.2 trillion infrastructure measure, which will be voted on by September 27, and now the $3.5 billion budget, plus voting rights on top of that. Matt's right. There are a lot of hurdles to go over before any one of these becomes law. But I would put my trust in Nancy Pelosi to get them all through the House, certainly, and then it's up to Chuck Schumer to get them through the Senate.
I got to get your response to that, Matt, and I know we have less than a minute left, but does Nancy Pelosi have the time to get some of these bills through her House, at least, before we start heading into the midterm elections?
Yeah, it feels like they punted the tough decisions and the tough work that they have to do to September. That's the thing. And now you have the debt ceiling deadline as well. So all these deadlines are coming together and the stakes are really high.
Matt Mikowiak is a Republican strategist. Bill Press is a Democratic strategist. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, Celeste.